Today's Bob Seska Show is brought to you in part by our Patreon page. On our Wednesday show, I spoke with the great Andrea Chalupa from the Gaslit Nation podcast, and you have to listen to what she has to say about this national emergency in the White House. Also, our Patreon page is the best place ever to chat with me one-on-one in the comments and in the community tab where you can post your own blog. So please help support this completely independent podcast, and depending on your subscription amount, we'll give you hours of weekly bonus content, including our post-mortem show recorded after the end credits roll on our Tuesday and Thursday shows, along with our Friday After Party podcast and the 90-minute ultimate edition of this show without commercials. We're also posting all kinds of free content on our Patreon page, including our Wednesday interview show with people like Eric Bollard, Randy Rhodes, Malcolm Nance, John Fugelsang, Frank Conniff, and Tom Nichols. That's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I've just received word. There's been a battle. The Enterprise is burning in space.
Don't believe it.
There's no need for any further information from you. Our troops were successful in spite of your refusal to help me. You might have saved yourself a great deal of torment by yielding at the beginning.
I want to see a neutral representative.
There is no such person. The word will be that you perished with your crew.
What must I do?
Nothing, really. Tell me how many lights you see.
You told me he would be ready to go. A ship is waiting to take him back to the Enterprise. Captain Picard, if you'll go with the guards, they'll take care of you.
Today's Rachel Maddow Show Award for Headline Excellence goes to Bob Seska.
The Bob Seska Show.
Yeah, we got a new open on the show. Deal with it. From our nation's capital, it is the Trump Crisis Day 819, Thursday, April 18th, 2019, and 565 days until the 2020 presidential election. And this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. It is the best soap in the world. Hi, my name is Bob. What's up?
Hello, Bob.
Hi. All right. So much to get to today. For obvious reasons, the Mueller report has dropped. So that means Goth Ninjas Assemble! All right. Jody Hamilton from the Stephanie Miller Show and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, and T-Rex David Ferguson from the T-Rex Report Podcast, patreon.com/the T-Rex Report.
Hi.
Welcome to both of you. First of all, a new open for the show. I'm streamlining things a little bit, and hopefully in the not-too-distant future, I won't screw it up too badly, so I hope you enjoy it. But all that happy-crappy aside,
I'd like to say one thing at the outset.
Yes.
Obama is my president and Picard is my captain.
Yeah. There are four lights. Absolutely. So, you are not insane. You listening in right now in your car or at your house or in your earbuds as you're working out on the treadmill or wherever, you are not insane. The things that you witnessed, most, I would say a good many of them actually happened, according to the actual Mueller report, which we now have in our sweaty little hands right now. Or Donald Trump, I should say. Trump has
the coloring book
sweaty little hands
of the Mueller report.
Yes, right. Yes, we do. And there are so many things to talk about with regard to this. First, we're going to talk about some general observations regarding the report. And then we're going to get into the specifics about collusion and obstruction, of which there was tons of collusion and tons of obstruction. Bill Barr and Donald Trump are lying every time they say no collusion, no obstruction. It is all over the place here. All of the shit, all of it that we have been observing over the last couple of years. I said most of it, not all of it. All of it is being confirmed in this report. And I don't know how anyone could possibly go around and say, president's totally innocent. No problem here. He is.
Chuck Willary is saying it.
Yeah. Well,
who are you
going to
believe? Robert Mueller, are you lying on?
We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Let's just dive right in with both feet here, Goth Ninjas. Trump, when he told Mueller was appointed, said these words. When he's sitting in the Oval Office, leaned back into his chair. He said, "Oh my God, this is terrible. This is the end of my presidency. I'm fucked." Yeah.
That may have been the only lucid moment he's had his entire presidency.
I think so.
I just tweeted that back at him just now because he was saying, "Oh, it's a game is over," and I'm like, "Really?
Yeah, yeah."
Do do innocent men say that about something? And then I called him Cadet Bone Spurs and then Small Hands.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? He is fucked. He is very fucked.
Yes, he is.
Well, it's I mean, we obviously see why the press conference was first.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Barr was clearly like installed to protect Trump's flank, and it was. I think it was. I heard Neil Katyal say, "Oh my God, Trump actually made a good investment."
Yeah, I would think so.
In Barr, yeah. Finally,
yeah. And what Barr has done for Donald Trump here is Barr has basically put out the false story, so it can travel around the world a bunch of times before the Mueller report even gets its pants on. And making matters worse. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I mean, I'm going to find myself going to all kinds of things that I've been seeing this morning in this report. I want to desperately stay on topic here. So
I think it's important, first of all, that we point out that it was a huge lie perpetuated by Barr that Mueller had left it up to his discretion whether or not to charge a sitting president.
Yeah.
Mueller was always operating from the premise that the State Department policy or the – not the State Department.
Justice.
The Justice
Department of Justice policy was not to indict a sitting president. So that was a priori like on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was what Barr was hired to do. Barr was hired to make sure that Donald Trump is not charged with obstruction of justice. And mission accomplished, Bill Barr. But that, all of that said, and again, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but there is plenty of impeachable obstruction in this report. I mean, tons and tons and tons of it. I mean, Biff should not be smiling today. I mean, the fact that he's going around posting stupid Game of Thrones memes and so forth is so utterly premature, because this report makes him look like everything we've been observing for the past 2 years, which to me, I mean, I started out the day watching Bill Barr just screw us with our pants on, just lying. And now I finally feel like now, Jody, that I feel like we're vindicated. It has been such a switch as I'm going through this. While it is still, the information itself is still horrifying and impeachable. It makes me feel a little better to know that we haven't been hosed when it comes to the actual report, that Mueller verifies all the shit that we've seen. Now, the problem is, of course, then the interpretation of whether or not those are criminal acts. And what we have seen from the Mueller report so far is no specific criminal referrals regarding obstruction or collusion. And there are many, many reasons for that. And we'll get into that here on the show. But again, this should be a terrible, there's a dark cloud over the White House and it hasn't gone away. I mean, Trump was correct when he said, "I'm fucked." I mean, again, that still applies.
Plus, and one time he stole the truth.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Since 2019, 2015.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, of course, our forecast that Barr was appearing this morning for the sole purpose of preemptive spin is entirely obvious now. Duh, that's exactly what he did. The report then, we find out, disagrees with Barr big time. Big time.
On nearly every point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the first article of impeachment, I mean, this is my I guess this would be my top shelf observation about the entire fucking Russiagate thing, is that the first article of impeachment has to be Trump's continued refusal to protect America from the Russian attack, to retaliate, to then to actually believe Putin's word over the word of our own intelligence community. And now, from what we find out, the Barr report and the Mueller report and Bill Barr's interpretation of the Mueller report, both of which confirmed the Russian attack. Except the one interesting thing is that Barr never himself mentioned the all important lines to help Trump win. And that was why the Russian attack took place, per the Mueller report. Not only two intelligence community reports, one issued in October of 2016, another issued in January of 2017. And now we get the Barr report saying, yes, you're not crazy. Russia did attack our elections. They used social media to manipulate people. They hacked the DNC and they hacked John Podesta and they released all of these emails through WikiLeaks. And by the way, coordination with people like Roger Stone and so on. So this, I mean, the fact is that we are continuously vulnerable to Russian attack, to Russia's active measures, which are becoming, according to Andrea Chalupa on yesterday's interview show at BobSeska.com, at SexyLiberal.com, they continue to perfect their active measures. They continue to improve their process, and they're going to be wheeling all of this crap out over the next year and a half, whatever it amounts to be. And then into the future, because clearly Donald Trump is not doing anything to stop them. And the only thing protecting us from this Russian attack are good patriotic people in the bureaucracy, FBI agents, NSA analysts, DHS people, which, by the way, they're being gutted now as we speak.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, look, the game is not over for Donald Trump. But, you know, it's funny, in looking at that meme that he posted about Game of Thrones, did you notice where the smoke's coming from? Did you notice how the smoke is coming out from under his trench coat, which could mean that he's farting all of that smoke. That was when I saw that, I was like,
that's what a diet of Big Macs will get you.
Yeah. I mean, my first reaction was to flip at the bird. I'm doing that all the time now. I'm flipping the bird at my computer screens and at my televisions. And I'm going, fuck you, whatever it is I'm looking at. And that was one of the first things I did this morning when I saw that meme. I just said, my God. And then I went, oh, look at the smoke. It looks like a fart. Of course, I have to go there right away. God bless the United States. And here's another outrageous remark that got lost in the fire hose of news today is that Jay Sekulow told Brian Williams on MSNBC, I watched this live as it happened, that Trump and his legal team had the Mueller report on Tuesday.
God damn it!
That's insane. It's absolutely insane. Days and days before Congress gets their hands on it. Days and days before we get our hands on it. So these guys had plenty of advance notice to orchestrate their spin, to put together a strategy for deceiving the general public. And now, this is an important...
And the press conference was still that bad.
Yeah. Absolutely. And here's an important observation with regard to that. I mean, we're all going over the Mueller report. We're all looking at it and we're block quoting it and we're tweeting about it. There are millions and millions of Americans who won't even read the fucking cover of the Mueller report. And that's who Bill Barr and Donald Trump are talking to this morning and today.
Right.
Those are the people they're influencing by saying lightly redacted, no problem, no obstruction.
The DC family.
Yeah, exactly. So all of you people who have, you know, jobs and families and responsibilities and don't have hours of time to pore over the details of the Mueller report are already taking away those little bits of details. Now it's going to be up to the press. Fuck us.
Chris Wallace was like, hey, why is Barr acting like Trump's personal lawyer? He said that this morning to Fox viewers that were definitely watching that. And so it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And Napolitano's probably going to say something similar. And now that the report is dropped, there's all this. They think that they're dropping it because it's a holiday weekend. And I used the word holiday in quotes because Easter for most people is just bunnies and candy.
Right. And then, by the way, that was another thing. Jerry Nadler brought that up, too, that the whole spin and fuckery going on with regard to the release of this report, the fact that it's Easter weekend has a big piece piece of the puzzle because
people are. Adam Schiff is going to be here tomorrow in Burbank. I'm going to go see him speak.
Yeah.
I would rather them stop their vacation, don't go to their districts and go back to work.
Right. A T-Rex, what are we going to say?
I wonder, is Ivanka going to arrive at the gates of Jerusalem on an ass?
I don't know.
And whose?
No, she is an ass.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias, yeah. Let's continue on down the list of things here, because there are so many things. Trump won the election with the help of the Russian government. I mean, can we say this now? I think we can say this now. He's an illegitimate president. I think that much is clear. At the very least, you can say that Russia's ongoing attacks to help Donald Trump helped Donald Trump. I mean, there it is. I mean, they didn't just do this as a masturbatory exercise. This wasn't just a dry run for something maybe they'll try out later. They were doing this to win. I mean, to get their handpicked guy in the Oval Office so that he would lift sanctions and do all of these pro-Russia things. That was the goal. Plus, to keep Hillary away from the White House, because, of course, Hillary doesn't like Putin and doesn't like Russia, and would have been, I think, clearly would have passed more sanctions against Russia as time went on.
I'd like to point out, though, you know, they say you can judge someone more by their enemies and their friends. I mean, look how many people it took to narrowly squeak Hillary Clinton out of office.
No
like
kidding.
Russia, Saudi Arabia, some private Israeli security firm called Black Box, Cambridge Analytica, Steve Bannon, and the whole combined rightosphere, and like we're all in this huge effort to stop her from. I mean, just worth pointing out to me, like to the people who are saying that it was just they wounded their conscience somehow by voting for her in 2016 as progressives. You know, I don't know. There's been a particularly nasty dispute with some progressives I've been around lately.
Yeah.
I understand your pain.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well,
it's just this whole suicide bomber attitude of like, you know, nominate my candidate or I will shoot this party in the neck. It's just like, it doesn't seem very like, you know, I don't know, like you're going to win a lot of converts that way.
Yeah.
You may actually end up shooting the party in the neck, but
what's
far be it from me.
What are Greenwald and Taibbi doing right now?
I haven't seen them on Twitter at all.
Oh, really? Because I can't look at Greenwald because he blocked me like a coward. But,
I'll go look.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I mean, the last time I saw
incognito window,
I thought that he had only tweeted one thing and hadn't really commented on this because obviously most of this report corroborates all of the reporting that we've seen and the reporting that Glenn Greenwald has been calling, you know, tinfoil hat conspiracy theories. By the way, can I say a big fuck you to Andrew Sullivan? Speaking of conspiracy.
What is up with him?
Oh, shit. You know, he called Malcolm Nance a fantasist on Hardball the other night.
I mean, this has always been coming. I've never trusted that man ever since he called us a fifth column for opposing the Iraq war. I'm like, Andy, honey, I've got your fifth column right here.
Well,
it's in my pants.
You know, my reaction immediately to that, T-Rex, was that, you know, he's accusing Malcolm Nance of being a fantasist and a conspiracy theorist. Malcolm Nance's findings in both of his books have been confirmed not only by the intelligence community, but now from what we see, the entire Mueller report. What the intelligence community wasn't able to prove is Andrew Sullivan's theory that Trig Palin is actually Bristol Palin's son.
Right, exactly.
So, sorry, Mr. Andrew Sullivan, your conspiracy theory was not proved like Malcolm Nance's.
Amazing what Americans will put up with.
Yeah, seriously.
For people with British accents.
Right, right. It's.
I wonder if we enjoy the same kind of weird like immunity from the laws and everything over there that like, you know, Milo and Sullivan get away with over here for just being like sort of vaguely posh sounding.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of which, you know, just not to, I'm not going to get off on a tangent about this, but you know, Kimberly and I watch Vanderpump Rules. And there's a British character on that show, James, who is an absolute Trump dick. He's like mini British Trump is what he is.
Oh, God.
And he gets away with it because of the accent. I keep saying to Kimberly, I said, if that guy had a Southern accent, he would never be on this show. And so it's amazing what people can get away with on those lines. Okay. So you were going to say...
Watch Vanderpump Rules, really, Bob?
I know. I feel for you.
I know. Well...
I don't even know what a Vanderpump is and why does it rule.
Is it a type of shoe? No, it's a kind of shoe, isn't it?
It is named after Lisa Vanderpump from Real Housewives.
What is a Lisa Vanderpump? I have no... Oh, a Real Housewife. So it's that far out.
Yeah. Jody, you're from the LA region, so you must be aware of Sir and I can't remember some of the other names of her restaurants, but it doesn't fucking matter. What did Glenn Greenwald have to say?
An hour ago, he tweeted out, the most amazing thing is that as a Trump-Russia skeptic from the start, even I thought they would end up nabbing at least one American like Carter Page for conspiring with Russia. They didn't even get Carter Page. I overestimated what Mueller would find.
You dick!
I hate him. What an asshole. This thing is...
But aren't there like four people sitting in jail right now?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And one of them for violating the foreign records, statute, FARA. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, my God. But, you know, you talk about collusion. I mean, the collusion is all over the fucking place here. And one of the things that we determined, one of the big takeaways from all of this is that the publicly known concept of collusion is, in fact, all over this report. Yeah. Well, the fact is that to say no collusion, for Bill Barr and Donald Trump to say no collusion is factually inaccurate.
It's a lie.
Yeah, Robert Mueller outlines in this thing, it's absolutely a lie. And Robert Mueller outlines in this report how he defines collusion. Mm-hmm. And what he's talking about here is not what we commonly think of as collusion. What the criminal statute that he was aiming for is criminal conspiracy. And just because the crimes didn't rise to the level of criminal conspiracy doesn't mean that there was no collusion.
Exactly.
Because the whole rest of the report, other than the obstruction evidence, is all collusion. All of these meetings, dozens of meetings between Trump campaign officials and Russians who are either trying to unwittingly scam Trump people or who are actually literally exchanging documents. And along those lines, okay, now remember, no collusion is a lie because there is collusion in this. And and one of the areas that I think we need to really, really zero in on with regard to this report is this section that occurs, I believe it's around page 140. And to me, it's the biggest takeaway so far in terms of the actual collusion between the Trump campaign and Russian officials with links to Russian military intelligence and links to Vladimir Putin. And that is the ongoing links between Paul Manafort and Konstantin Kalimnik.
Absolutely.
Manafort's man in Kiev. And so what happened here is, and this is just absolutely breathtaking. When I saw this, just alarm bells, alarm bells, alarm bells. This is from page, I believe, 140. It says, Manafort briefed Kalimnik. Again, Kalimnik is former Russian military intelligence. Kalimnik is the GRU. So Manafort briefs Kalimnik from the GRU on the state of the Trump campaign and Manafort's plan to win the election. That briefing encompassed the campaign's messaging and its internal polling data. According to Gates, it also included discussion of, wait for it, battleground states, which Manafort identified as Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota.
Yep.
Let me do that again. Actually, I got to do it a bunch of times.
Yes.
Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania handed Donald Trump the presidency.
And that's where Cambridge Analytica specifically started targeting Facebook users in those regions with more propaganda.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what we have here is Paul Manafort handing to a Russian GRU operative, Konstantin Kalimnik, internal proprietary polling data. This isn't
Gallup. A map of targets is what he handed him.
This isn't Quinnipiac or Rasmussen.
Right.
This is proprietary internal polling data that they pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to attain. He is handing this information over to a Russian GRU operative, Kalimnik, at the same time that the Russian GRU is targeting Americans with propaganda and hack attacks and so on. So what Manafort is doing is giving Kalimnik a roadmap for where specifically to target voters to switch them from, say, for example, you know, supporting Hillary Clinton or formerly supporting Barack Obama to then voting for Donald Trump in the 2016 election. So don't fucking tell me anymore that this Russian attack did not swing the election for Donald Trump. It absolutely, I mean, we have yet more indication.
I think they're totally hinging it on the argument that Kalimnik is no longer part of the Russian government. When
I know,
they say
that's
no collusion with the Russian
saying,
government,
yeah.
they're
yeah.
saying, well, they colluded with Russian oligarchs who used to be in the government, but
What did they used to say? Once CIA, always CIA.
Exactly. Once a spy, always a spy. That's exactly. You're never out. You're just not working for them anymore.
Okay. I mean, my God, this line right here, I can't stop reading this over and over again. According to Gates, it also included discussion of battleground states, which Manafort identified as Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So basically, what the Trump campaign was kind of seeing is they were seeing Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania as opportunities based on their internal proprietary polling. Yeah. And I keep saying proprietary to emphasize that this is not public polling. This is internal polling, you know, geared toward helping a campaign win. Right. So
they just outsourced what the Kemp campaign did in Georgia, really.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
They just stole an election with propaganda and, you know, making it, suppressing votes.
Yep.
However, by all means necessary. And it's just, it's depressing.
So
I just wonder, like, what's going to, you know, what'll be the ramifications? How do we go forward from here?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, the first thing that has to happen is, and I don't want to get too far off on, the next steps for everything, but Congress has to impeach. Make no mistake about this. Nancy Pelosi had better be rethinking her no impeachment pledge, because
don't count on it.
There are countless things here that demand impeachment. And you know what? Honestly, if I were to bet, I would bet that she's rethinking right now. I bet that she's reevaluating how they're going to approach this, because this is loaded with impeachable offenses.
Yes.
Digby tweeted earlier, she said, Trump's campaign chairman handed a former KGB agent internal polling data, including important data about the battleground states Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, which provided the extremely narrow electoral college win for Trump. Huh. Barr calls this no collusion. I don't know how he gets that. It's obvious he's lying. And I thought Kalimnik was former GRU. She defines him as being former KGB.
Well, they're kind of the same, aren't they? FSB, KGB, GRU, aren't they all kind of?
Well, they're all
just.
Well, one is domestic
soup.
And one is foreign, isn't it?
Yeah, there you go. Yes, you're correct, sir.
I'm looking up Konstantin Kalimnik here. I thought Konstantin Kalimnik was specifically GRU.
That's domestic, correct?
That
like
is
FBI.
Well, that's military intelligence.
That's the foreign. Yeah, military intelligence is the GRU.
Yeah, Digby was.
FSB is the home cops, like FBI.
Digby was wrong here.
No, I'm wrong.
He became fluent in. Well, as far as Kalimnik being KGB, it says here that Kalimnik became fluent in Swedish and English as a linguist at the Military University of the Ministry of Defense of the Russian Federation, which trained interpreters for the Soviet Main Intelligence Directorate. That is, of course, the GRU.
Exactly.
So, I was right with the GRU. Nevertheless, I mean, Digby's observation still stands that this is obvious collusion. I mean, how could it not be? They're exchanging information in the midst of a Russian attack on the election. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if Bill Barr wants to thread that teeny tiny little needle and say, well, Kalimnik's not GRU anymore, so nothing is bullshit. It is.
Oh, they've been pushing
bullshit.
Camels through needles the whole time they've been up there. Why should this stop them? I mean,
So in addition to all of that, the investigation also identified numerous links between the Russian government and the Trump campaign. That's right out of the Mueller report. That is a direct quote from the Mueller report. And yet, again, Bill Barr stands up there and Donald Trump stands up there and goes, no collusion. I mean, that is the biggest fucking lie.
No collusion.
You know, that is, I would wager.
No collusion.
I would wager that is the second biggest lie in American politics of the 21st century. And of course, we know what the first biggest lie was. No,
you can keep your doctor?
WMD in Iraq. Shut up with that.
I'm sorry.
God damn it. No. WMD in Iraq, I think, was the biggest lie of the 21st century, at least in terms of politics. And I don't know why the audience is applauding for that. It's not something that you applaud for.
It's not a good thing.
Audience, shut up. Okay.
Stop it, green room.
Yeah, I know. My God.
This is Kimberly and the cat, right?
Exactly. All of our studio audience. It's just two people. One of them is a cat, which is really entertaining to watch a cat applaud. If you've ever seen
it's fun.
All four.
I don't know how they can do that, but they do it.
They can. They're very smart.
Yeah. But I mean, so
nimble.
The argument from Bill Barr is that Well, Don Jr. didn't personally sit around and hack Podesta's emails or order the trolls to attack certain people. Oh, my God. Look, they didn't have to do the actual hacking or the actual coordination of the social media attacks in order to collude. Now,
they didn't personally build Trump Tower either.
Yeah.
Well, it's like so you're the guy that's driving the bank robbers away. I didn't actually rob the bank. Yeah. But I helped them get away with it.
Yep.
Yeah, they just outsourced it.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Just amazing.
Outsourced to Russia for, you know, foreign jobs program.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, what we've been observing for a while now with regard to how Trump operates in his mafia way is, yeah, he's got a lot of buffers, tons of buffers between him.
Yeah, and he doesn't email and he doesn't write anything down because he's illiterate.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's like I said, they're never going to find that mimeographed piece of paper that says, "Dear Vlad, let's collude."
I like you said mimeographed.
I don't know why that's popped into my head. I miss that smell. Say the truth. It's that kid who's getting high off the mimeograph fumes, you know, and they pass out a new test and it's still a little wet.
There are children that don't get high anymore off of that. It's very sad.
Yeah. I know. Oh, my God.
Everything's bubble jet.
Well, so I wonder if there are children who even know what that is.
Anyway. Exactly my point. It's like they don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
I even remember the hand cranked ones.
Yeah, the big.
I used those in fifth grade and sixth grade. I used the hand cranked ones.
Yeah, we had those. I went to Catholic school. We had those things in Catholic school, and there was just it was like blue ink, right? That would come off. It was like this
blue
light.
And purple. It was a purpley thing. It was like a negative, and it did have a smell.
See, we're going right off tangent.
We're so old.
Yeah, I know.
Back to the Mueller probe.
Actually, not back to the Mueller probe. Let's talk about bugger off bomb. I got to talk about bugger off bomb first and then Mueller probe. That is the priority here, of course. Buggeroffbomb.com. It is nasty chemical free. That means there are no nasty chemicals in it. It is DEET free, kind to all humans in the environment, and it keeps the bugs off of your skin all summer long. A couple of podcasts back, T-Rex was comparing it to a product he was able to get in India that had eucalyptus and citronella in it. Well, it turns out that Bugger Off Bomb has those same ingredients and sounds very similar to what T-Rex was describing.
I haven't been to India. It was my brother.
It was your brother who was in India. Well, I'm just going
to
say
there's
a
whole new continent of people to walk up to me and go, "Hey, Patrick." Yeah.
Yeah, it's the 21st century T-Rex. We can bullshit like that all we want because, of course, the president does it, so why not? Bugger Off is handmade in small batches by Karen Reese in the wilds of the Pacific Northwest, and I'm happy to report that it really works. As I said the other day, I was out bike riding, and I used Bugger Off Bomb to keep all the flying insects off of me, because I can't tell you the number of times I've been stung by things while bike riding, especially while climbing and going really slow, and so Bugger Off Bomb kept all that crap off of me. But if you want to be like me and you want to wear Bugger Off Bomb outside to all your outdoor events, here are your four steps to being bug-free all summer long. Rub the balm between your palms. And by the way, it comes in these great little metal tins, like these aluminum tins with the top screws off, right? There's the sound of my Bugger Off Balm, right? And the balm itself is not, it's not like sloppy. It's more like a almost like a lip balm. It's kind of solid, and then you rub some out onto your finger, and then you put it on the desired areas, and you wait, and you feel the mosquitoes being repelled. And then, of course, you can repeat in a few hours for true happiness. And by the way, again, it smells way better than the store-bought repellents. Bugger Off smells clean and fresh and won't stain your clothing, plus no more skeeter bites. It's another line of defense against any insect-borne diseases. Just $10.95 at buggeroffbomb.com, but use our promo code BOBC for 15% off your entire order. Support this show by supporting Bugger Off Bomb and stay bug free all damn summer long, right? Again, that is Bugger Off Bomb, buggeroffbomb.com, or just click the link on the podcast page. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
I didn't wait.
What did you want, T-Rex?
Jody had a Bugger Off story.
Oh, she did. Oh, that's
just
right.
Share with the class.
All right.
Yeah, well, I did buy some Bugger Off, and Karen, who apparently is one of the people in the company, wrote me a handwritten note thanking me for my order with a smiley face.
Oh, that's so cool.
How awesome is that?
I like that.
See, you're not going to get that from the off people, I swear to God.
No, you're not.
All right.
This music is fun. This is like, I need this. What is this?
This is Battle Tapes, Weight of the World, from the album of the same name. It is, here's how it's described: transcendental electro synth guitar rock, fun time escape music. See? Can't you tell?
This is a perfect running music for the treadmill.
It is awesome.
Left, right.
Battle Tapes, Weight of the World. If you want to submit your indie music, go to bobsuska.com/music and submit away. I am way behind on replying to people with their submissions. I'm procrastinating and it's bad. I promise I'll reply to everybody very, very soon. Maybe this weekend. We'll get around to everybody. All right, lots more to still talk about with regard to the Mueller report, which we have in our hands right now. Thank God. It is still heavily redacted, which means there are all kinds of things, a lot of it surrounding Roger Stone and WikiLeaks, that we cannot, that we simply cannot look at yet. But apparently there's a version, or wait, isn't Congress is getting the fully redacted version. Didn't we hear yesterday?
I think the Gang of Eight might be getting it. I think they might be getting it, and they have to read it in a skiff, so it means they can't take it out. I mean, it's a whole, and you can't take pictures, and you know, you can't write anything down because it's a skiff, so I'm not sure, and I think that Pelosi and Schumer are going
Roger
after.
Stone people, like the committees that are investigating Roger Stone, are also getting a differently redacted version. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, yeah, and they're getting them on CDs, which is so weird.
Like, I have two computers that can still do that. Yeah. So if they need me to go there with my computers,
right? I think those are the last computers in the world that still have CD drives.
I have one that detaches from my MacBook.
Yeah. Oh, no, I have an external one, too. I mean, I have all sorts of drives that I can send them. They're literally looking for drives because if they have any sort of updated laptops, I'm not so sure about, you know, towers or desktop computers, but certainly laptops don't have them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, so, I mean, again, I want to repeat this big takeaway because I cannot stop reading this sentence, again, about Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, that Manafort and Kilimnik were exchanging data about those three battleground states that helped Trump win, or that actually determined the Electoral College victory for Donald Trump.
This was in the dossier as well, right? Isn't it another thing that we've confirmed that was from the original Steele dossier?
I don't know. I don't remember if the dossier discussed Kilimnik and Manafort meeting about the battleground states.
They might have just discussed the meeting, but not what it was about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, I think we determined in the Mueller report that the PP tape is a fake. I think that's what's in there.
That's fine.
Yeah. But
there's some deliberate misinformation ploy.
Well, what's interesting that I've found is that the reason that they couldn't decide whether or not there was a problem was because the people that they were interviewing were lying.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that, of course, that goes to obstruction.
Exactly. So, and it's like, I'm sorry, if you lie to anybody in that position, that's a crime.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to enumerate, we're going to probably mention that again once we get to the obstruction section of our discussion here. But the fact is that, yeah, I mean, you can't determine the full extent of a conspiracy if all of the buffas are lying mm-hmm. to investigators. You're only going to be able to get so far. And so my question is, what happened with all of these cooperating witnesses? Like, why couldn't they get information regarding a conspiracy from them? Or maybe they did. Maybe they did get some of these things, and they still didn't rise to the level of being criminal conduct. So that could be the case, too.
I heard the phrase illegal but not chargeable earlier, and that strikes me as something that only can happen to rich people.
Well, you know, what's interesting is the Mueller report actually, in discussing obstruction of justice, again, the Mueller report, okay, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to get back to the obstruction thing as a separate portion of the conversation. But it's in terms of collusion again, you know, this tweet by Bradley Moss jumped out at me. And Bradley Moss, I think, is a very small C conservative guy when it comes to interpreting news like this. Not conservative, mm-hmm. like politically conservative, but conservative in terms of being prudent, I guess I should say.
And not prone to histrionics.
That's exactly the way I would describe Bradley Moss, not prone to histrionics. He said here, first thoughts as still reading the collusion section. No wonder the intelligence community and our allies were seeing red flags all over the place. The Trump campaign and associates were interacting all over the place with scummy characters trying to coordinate on the disinformation campaign. Mm-hmm. I mean, once again, you got to go.
You gotta get Rocky Mountain Mike to do a remix of the Oh my God.
I know. Oh my God. And that's, you know what? That's the phrase that I have said over and over again all morning long. I've either been screaming,
God damn it, God damn it,
or I've been saying, my God, my God. And I'm not making that up. I mean, I'm sitting here at my desk going through the Mueller report, reading all the tweets coming in from reporters and everyone else. And I'm going, just one thing after another.
I'm just imagining God. That final sequence of 2001.
Yeah.
It's like going, my God, it's full of assholes.
The other thing I'm doing is, there are four lights. You know, just doing the Captain Picard thing from that episode. If you've never seen that Star Trek episode, it's from The Next Generation. Captain Picard is kidnapped by the Cardassians and tortured. And one of the
Cardassians or the Cardassians?
Cardassians.
They put him in false eyelashes and they like spray tan him. And
yeah, did I say Cardassians?
I don't know what you said. It sounded like Cardassians.
Well, it's Cardassians. That's the name of the species.
That's problematic. They need to change that name.
Yeah. Cardassians. He's kidnapped by the Cardassians. If I said Kardashians,
oh my God. No, you didn't. I just heard Kardashian because of the name, but sorry.
If I said Kardashians, I'm going to resign from the show.
You did not. You said Kardashians.
Your nerd cred is intact.
You're geeky enough. You're nerd
cred.
Pretend
not to know who the Kardashians are.
Right.
Yeah, you're still a nerd, but.
I'm just a gigantic nerd. But here's the thing. I mean, and this is going to make me even more of a nerd, but okay, so Picard is kidnapped by the Cardassians. And tortured, and one of the ways he's tortured is by psychological torture, where this Cardassian torturer is telling him that there are only three lights on behind his head, behind the Cardassian's head. And Picard is sitting there, he's being tortured, and the Cardassian keeps asking, how many lights do you see behind my head? And Picard is clearly seeing four lights, but the Cardassian is saying, no, there's only three lights. It's basically what Bill Barr and Donald Trump did all, you know, for the last 3 weeks, or which Donald Trump has been doing.
And also proof that Cardassians are the worst optometrists ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, Picard is getting ready to say, he's getting ready to succumb to the torture and the gaslighting. And he's about to say, yeah, there are only three lights, when the other Cardassians come in and say, Picard's free. None of what you've been hearing about the Enterprise is true. And then Picard shouts, they're off. Four lights. And so that's where we get that. And so there's my nerdy explanation. So the conspiracy couldn't be proved because of Trump's lying.
God damn it.
This, of course, will lead us into the discussion of obstruction of justice. But here's the section, another section of this report that jumped out at me with regard to this. The investigation, this is from the Mueller report, the investigation established that several individuals affiliated with the Trump campaign lied to the office and to Congress.
Yes.
About their interactions with Russian-affiliated individuals and related matters. So I assume these individuals, several individuals, that would indicate at least three, right? Is several three? Mm-hmm. That'd be the people who've been charged with lying to Congress, right? So,
except Jeff Sessions. I mean, we know that about him. I mean, he clearly lied about, you know, and that was why he was recused from the Russia investigation. But has he faced any consequences whatsoever?
I don't know, other than being tormented by Donald Trump as being Mr. Magoo. You know, I don't know.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough.
So he said here, these lies materially impaired, this is what Jody was saying before, materially impaired the investigation of Russian election mm-hmm. interference. So they couldn't do the full thing. They couldn't do the full investigation of interference because they had all these people lying to the top officials. The office charged some of those lies as violations of the federal false statement statute. Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn pleaded guilty to lying about his interactions with Russian Ambassador Kislyak during the transition period. And they go on and on to list all of the lies. So, I mean, if you want to figure out, why couldn't they get criminal conspiracy and all this? Again, it was the buffers. It was all the buffers.
The key word in that was materially, because that's a legal term.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that has a lot of weight to it. It's not like they, you know, tangentially or thought about it or coincidentally. They materially messed with this investigation
yep.
on purpose.
Yeah.
And so that, to me, those are charges right there. Whoever lied, bring up charges.
Well, one of the other things that we see in the report are the words suborning perjury.
Uh-huh.
Which indicates that Donald Trump was suborning perjury.
Yeah.
He was asking his people to lie to Congress. And so there, another article of impeachment right there, suborning perjury of these other people. So no wonder, I mean, Donald Trump is saying no collusion, no obstruction. Well, one of the reasons he's able to say that is because all of his people were lying to Mueller.
Exactly.
And this is in the report. Trump and Barr lied when they said no collusion. We've already talked about that. There was, of course, extensive coordination with WikiLeaks that I would imagine amounts to, well, not imagine, which certainly amounts to, in my mind, collusion. I mean, October 3rd, 2016, WikiLeaks sent another direct message to Donald Trump Jr. I think we talked about this last week, maybe, all of the communications between WikiLeaks and Donald Trump Jr. I mean, there was extensive back and forth culminating in Don Jr. publicly tweeting the WikiLeaks search.tk link through his Twitter account. Oh, my God. It's just so, it's so exhausting, so infuriating.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but the other thing that they wrote was if we had confidence after a thorough investigation of the facts that the president clearly did not commit obstruction of justice, we would so state. Based on the facts and applicable legal standards, we are unable to reach that judgment. Accordingly, while this report does not conclude that he committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him.
There it is. Does not exonerate him. And Donald Trump's acting like he's, you know, he just got a get out of jail free card.
You know,
the problem is that this is like the same problem we have when scientists testify to Congress and they have to admit that there is a 0.002% doubt that humans might be contributing to global warming. And someone like Matt Gaetz will go, well, that's, I guess it's not settled then, is it?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's just like they've pussyfooted around on this and they're saying, you know, we're not charging, but we're not, you know, not charging.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's just that's all the oxygen that, you know, Hannity and Tucker Carlson need to, mm-hmm. to like catapult the propaganda, as it were.
Yep.
And it's kind of infuriating. We now see why they waited 4 weeks. Who knows how much damage they've done to all the fail-safes of our entire democratic system month.
I know. I mean, the institutions are breaking down. I mean, we were supposed to believe the Department of Justice would stand up as a bulwark against Trump's criminality. And, of course, now that he's inserted his own Roy Cohn into the AG's mm-hmm. office, he's able to get away with all of this shit. He's able to get away with it, at least for now.
Well, as Buzz Burbank reminds us, the AG for Nixon went to prison.
That is true also. That is very true. So grateful for Buzz to remind us of that. But meanwhile,
I honestly think we may have a hard time getting Democratic politicians to want to impeach because they are heading into election season.
I don't think so anymore.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so anymore. I think Pelosi's going to go for it. I think she's like, now she's pissed.
She is such a, I mean, I feel like she's such a poker player. And you know,
she's so Italian that now they pissed her off.
It was so disastrous for the Republicans when they tried to impeach Clinton. I think that is constantly looming in
every Democrat's
mind.
They got the White House in 2000. It wasn't that disastrous.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what happened. George W. Bush won 2 years later, 2 years after that impeachment thing. Mm. Not only did George W. Bush win, but then 2 years after that, the Republicans took the Senate again, took back mm-hmm. the Senate, and then controlled the entire Congress and the presidency, setting up a similar situation as what we're seeing or as what we saw up until 2018. So,
no, I think Pelosi realizes the Italian in her is now really pissed.
Yeah.
And, I hope so. I hope so.
She's angry. She's going to do what she needs to do to get this information out to us. And just because you have hearings doesn't mean you vote on it, by the way. You can have hearings. The whole point is let's listen to the evidence and then we have a vote to decide. That's what this is. It's not about we're voting tomorrow. We have to know the evidence. And once we know the evidence, then we decide on the vote and then we send it to the Senate. Mm-hmm. And at that point, the Senate will...
They have to hold a trial.
They'll do is the Republicans will capitulate to Fox News and decline to
Well, it doesn't even matter.
I don't know.
What happens in the Senate is irrelevant. The Democrats control the House mm-hmm. of Representatives right now. And what I don't want is a Democratic Party that endorses the imperial presidency tacitly by refusing to hold him accountable on this gigantic report loaded with impeachable crimes.
Exactly.
Impeachable
but
offenses.
It's like Angela... Or is it, oh God, who did you interview yesterday? I'm sorry.
Andrea Chalupa.
Andrea, her sister's Angela, right.
Yeah.
It's like, just like she was saying, it's part, you know, when people who are being actively harmed by this mm-hmm. presidency here, you know, it's not worth it to impeach.
Yeah.
We're hearing, you know, it's not worth fighting for you.
Well, that's horrible. And what we need to do is we need to push Nancy Pelosi to pick up this fucking gauntlet and run with it, to go forward with articles of impeachment, if for no other reason, and I've said this a million times, it bears repeating, if for no other reason, but to send the signal on down through the ages that we will never tolerate another despot criminal like Donald Trump in the White House ever again. On top of the
and
fact
that they have to wear that around their neck wherever they go, even if he does win a second term, the House impeached you. It's like a rubber chicken he has to wear everywhere.
Yeah. You know? Well, on top of the fact that he's an illegitimately elected president. And at the very least, that needs to be underscored and documented too. The Mueller report is not enough. The Mueller report is just a document that says, here's what he did. And now it's going to require Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff. It's going to require Jerry Nadler. It's going to require the entire House Democratic Caucus to rise up and say, no more. Enough of this bullshit. And we need to push them to do that. We need to give them safe harbor to be able to do this so that they're not punished electorally. We need to give also truth-telling members of the press. We need to support them by contacting editors, by contacting them personally on Twitter and say, we've got your back. People like Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, some of the reporters of the New York Times, the Washington Post, who have been correct about this from day fucking one. And they are in a position right now, and certainly it's not as bad today as it might have been on March 24th, but they're in a position where their jobs may be in danger because the public perception, the spin, the carefully orchestrated and coordinated spin on this by the Trump administration and his newly appointed attorney general is telling the public something different and thereby giving the public fuel to say, all right, time to move on. This is over. We don't know. You don't move on from this. This is not the end. This is merely, as Lawrence O'Donnell was saying last night, the beginning of the end. Not the end itself.
The end of the beginning.
It's the end of the beginning. Well, meanwhile, my God, we also found out today that and this is, in fact, Bloomberg wrote up an entire article about this based on the Mueller report, that Jared Kushner's pal worked with Vladimir Putin's deputy on a reconciliation plan, which basically to me amounts to evidence of the quid pro quo. Like, okay, you're going to help us get elected. And by the way, we can't materially help you on that front, but you help us get elected. And then we're going to lift sanctions. And oh, by the way, we're going to set up some sort of back channel in order so we can communicate with you.
A server that communicates with Vanessa Kahnenbank.
Yes. Thank you.
I think you were going to say something a second ago we steamrolled over you.
T-Rex gets a round of applause for Vanessa Kahnenbank. Thank you.
That's nice. That's nice. According to Pelosi for Congress, she is asking people to sign a petition to demand the facts from Mueller.
Okay.
Sounds like she wants him to testify.
Well, I hope that's the case, and I hope that leads her in a process toward supporting impeachment. And I do. I disagree
What are we going to do if Mueller has a terrible SpongeBob voice?
Yeah, we don't really know what his voice sounds like doing.
This could be what the Republicans have been banking on all along. You know, they go to swear him in, and he's like, I do solemnly swear.
So, remember that John Oliver joke where he dubbed in Gilbert Gottfried's voice over
that's
Jared
exactly
Kushner?
Exactly what I was thinking of.
So funny.
My name is Jared Kushner.
Or he sounds like the lady from Singing in the Rain. What's wrong with my voice? Why can't I talk?
So a friend of Jared Kushner developed a reconciliation plan for the U.S. and Russia with a Vladimir Putin deputy and gave it to President Donald Trump's son-in-law, who circulated it to other top Trump officials. But there was no collusion.
No, nothing
to see here. You're going crazy. Crazy talk, collusion.
You're what's hysterical. Collusion? Progressives.
Yeah.
Silly snowflakes.
So, meanwhile, Buzz tweeted about this earlier. He said, found from the Mueller report, that the report reveals North Carolina Republican Senator Richard Burr, who heads the Senate Intelligence Committee, has kept the White House informed of discoveries by his committee's investigators.
Oh, my God.
So Burr has been leaking to Trump information about the investigation into Trump.
Surprise.
There it is. Delayed reaction.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
The whole thing's been, I mean, this is such, like, I think it's just such, like, backwards tin pot dictator shite that should not be happening at the highest levels of what used to be one of the greatest democracies in the world.
Yeah.
And is now just kind of like your drunk uncle at the picnic that's like telling everybody to pull themselves up by their bootstraps while he goes and gets his disability check for
No doubt. You know. Well, so it clearly states, and by the way, we're on to the obstruction section of the report now. The report clearly states, and I quote, "If we had confidence after a thorough investigation of the facts that the president clearly did not commit obstruction of justice, we would so state."
Of course they would.
So if they found information indicating that Donald Trump didn't commit obstruction of justice, they would say, oh, we found evidence the president didn't commit obstruction of justice. But they didn't. And that is, of course, saying to members of Congress, yeah, it's obstruction of justice. We're not saying it because, you know, the policy is we can't indict someone, and this is a investigatory, prosecutorial process. So we can't come out and say that because that would be wrong. I mean, you can't say someone committed a crime if you're not going to charge them. And because they can't charge him, they can't say he committed a crime. So what they're saying is he didn't not commit a crime. I think that's their little jujitsu, their little calculus around that question.
But, you know, you can't jujitsu these kind of people. I mean, when there's an 800-pound gorilla in the room, you don't whip out the Scrabble board and be like, let's settle this like gentlemen.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I just, this is where the authoritarianism just was going to clobber us over the head every time.
Yeah.
When we make these kind of mealy-mouthed equivocal statements, he didn't not commit is not enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, like I hope that the Democrats in the House will have the political stones to move forward with, you know, impeaching him or at least getting some kind of public investigation going.
Yeah.
I know that this is like they're heading into the deep fundraising season. It's about to start to get crazy for Democrats. I think they live in fear of, you know, because the Republicans did lose, you know, they did not actually manage to derail Clinton's presidency with the impeachment. He got reelected for a second term, and the party wandered in the wilderness. You know, they had to kind of like lop off Newt Gingrich, who had become the face of the party.
Well, I mean, granted, the Republicans lost a few seats in the 1998 midterms, but you know, ultimately, they didn't experience any sort of heinous electoral damage, knowing that, as we said before, George W. Bush got elected anyway. But here, more collusion talk from the report itself. I'm quoting again. "Substantial evidence indicates that the president's effort to have Jeff Sessions limit the scope of the special counsel's investigation to future election interference was intended to prevent further investigatory scrutiny of the president's and his campaign's contact." Substantial evidence. The president knew that the Russia investigation was focused in part on his campaign, and he perceived allegations of Russian interference to cast doubt on the legitimacy of his election. The president further knew that the investigation had broadened to include his own conduct and whether he had obstructed justice. Those investigations would not proceed if the special counsel's jurisdiction were limited to future election interference only. So basically what's being said here is that, yeah, there is substantial evidence showing obstruction of justice, and that the president, part of the president's motivation, part of his intent was to prevent his presidency from being cast as being illegitimate. So he wanted to make sure that his presidency was seen as legitimate. And it seems to me as if you don't have to have committed an underlying crime to commit obstruction of justice. It seems to me as if you can commit obstruction of justice for the purpose of politics.
Of course.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the British call it perversion of the course of justice, which to me seems like an even more accurate claim. I mean, it's like you are just misdirecting.
That's,
you know, you're
great,
trying to push justice
perversion
off the road.
Of the course of I like that.
Perversion of the course of justice. I think that's great. Yeah.
It's
I
like you're
that.
Trying to run it off the road. Yeah.
We also have
with your dicks.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
this is a serious discussion. Let's continue.
Scott, look, I've already talked about farts and played at least two fart sounds. So
yeah, they're still here. I don't
T-Rex,
think
that ship has sailed.
Them.
The seriousness ship has sailed. confirmed. We have confirmation in the Mueller report that Trump tried to fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller. That's in there. It's all in there. Again, if you're saying that all of this reporting was bullshit all along, you are lying. You are lying, Glenn Greenwald. You are lying, Matt Taibbi. You are lying, Michael Tracy. You are lying, Donald Trump and Bill Barr and Donald Trump Jr. and all the rest of you fuckers about what really happened. We're on to you. We see the facts now. We know them as they've been presented in this report. And now it's the House Democrats' turn. And they better fucking rise to the occasion. The gauntlet has been thrown down. It's your turn, Nancy Pelosi. Do the right thing. Okay, that's my little speech. Thank you very much.
I feel like the character who's sitting over on the corner of the porch in his overalls, chewing on a piece of hay. It's like, it ain't gonna work.
I know.
They're going to get away with it.
They might. And, you know, last night I tweeted a bunch of things. I was Debbie Downer last night. I was sitting on my couch just tweeting Debbie Downer things like, lower your expectations, everyone. I mean, we're not going to see anything. I was absolutely predicting that the text of the report would have been edited, too. Mm-hmm. Granted, I got a little conspiratorial there. I'll be the first to admit that the idea of editing the text, and we still don't know if any of the text was edited. It could be since it was delivered to Bill Barr. But we also have that the information in this report that some Trump campaign associates deleted relevant communications. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me as if there should be charges here for destruction of evidence, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
There should be.
Maybe these people have already...
there ought to be, but...
Evidence tampering, I believe, would be the legal term because of my Law and Order degree.
Oh, that's right.
Dong.
Yeah. the office learned that some of the individuals were interviewed, or whose conduct... By the way, I'm having trouble reading some of this because it's teeny tiny on my screen.
I know, yeah.
The office learned that some of the individuals we interviewed or whose conduct we investigated, including some associated with the Trump campaign, deleted relevant communications or communicated during the relevant period using applications that feature encryption or that do not provide for long-term retention of data or communications records. In such cases...
Are they using Snapchat?
They're using Snapchat or WhatsApp is the one that Jared Kushner was using, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And doesn't WhatsApp and Snapchat, those texts vanish after a period of time, right?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, so they disappear. I'm not
quite hep to the...
Yeah, it's like,
There was a point where I stopped with social media.
Yeah.
People were like, "Are you got my Snapchat?" I'm like, I'm not checking for you. No one is paying me to keep up with you on all these mediums.
Yeah, too many things, you know? So do you know, yeah. Jody, is that how it works? These things disappear after you send a message?
I believe that's what the kids are telling me.
Ah, right. I see. All right. Well, in such cases, the office was not able to corroborate witness statements through comparison to contemporaneous communications or fully question witnesses about statements that appeared inconsistent with other known facts. Accordingly, while this report embodies factual and legal determinations that the office believes to be accurate and complete to the greatest extent possible, given these identified gaps, the office cannot rule out the possibility that the unavailable information would shed additional light or cast new light on the events described in the report. So basically what we're talking about here is Tony Soprano using a payphone or a drop phone or a drop cell phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like in Breaking Bad, they use those
burner
cell
phone
burner phones. Yeah.
Burner phones. Yeah. You can't trace them. There's nothing. Yeah.
So what we've been describing all along is being stupid Watergate. They're actually, maybe that doesn't apply fully, because while all these people involved are stupid idiots and criminals and just terrible, terrible people in general, they are at least smart enough to have buffers and they're smart enough to cover their fucking tracks. And we've seen Robert Mueller take down mobsters. We've seen him take down financial crimes. We've seen him take down all kinds of hardened criminals and put them behind bars. But these guys surrounding Trump were at least smart enough to bury their evidence, to preemptively destroy their evidence, which, mm-hmm. I mean, again, you know, there's so much gray area, because can you actually say for sure whether or not using WhatsApp constitutes, what did you call it, Jody? What's the legal term again?
Evidence tampering.
Yeah. So
I answered as if my name was Jody.
Thank you, T-Rex.
Thank you, Jody, T-Rex. And that's, you know, that's why all of your sounds are played at the same time, by the way.
Exactly.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. So, it is a beautiful noise, a joyful noise.
But I mean,
unto the board.
But I mean, the question is like the use of that. You know, obviously it's legal to text someone using WhatsApp,
Well, it's legal, but I think under certain laws, once they won the presidency, and I use the term "won" loosely.
Yeah.
Everything.
Then there's
really
the Presidential Records Act.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you're still communicating that way with anybody, it doesn't matter with whom. Ask Hillary Clinton in emails. It doesn't matter. You're now and that's knowingly violating versus, oh my God, I just deleted those. I didn't mean to. These are applications that are meant to not be held on a server anywhere.
I see.
With hers, it was a server that something may have happened or somebody else had those emails. But this is a place where you go and you communicate and it's gone.
Right, right.
They actually found out that Snapchat still has everything.
Yeah, but I think WhatsApp does get rid of it. So, I don't use any of those things, but that's why Mueller's people couldn't get at it because the servers don't hold that information. They might hold it for a little bit, but not long enough. You know, I need to see something from 6 months ago. Well, we only hold it for 2 weeks, or we only hold it for a week, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. I bet there's somebody out there who can unscramble
there's some. Come on, people that do the codes.
So
I've always wanted to see like a TV show from the perspective of the hacker character that always, you know, like you have your like high cheekbone, dazzling teeth, like heroes and heroines spilling into his house, be like, we need you to do it. And he's just like, fine, you know, off they go on their like adventures. Yeah. Anyway,
well,
as you were saying.
I would say Daniel Dale, who's been doing incredible work lately. Yeah. Just not only fact checking, but keeping track of all of the awful video clips and shit like that. Second only to Aaron Rupar as far as doing amazing and extraordinarily difficult work, keeping track of all that shit. Daniel Dale tweeted, the report also says that people being investigated, quote, including some associates with the Trump campaign, quote, oh yeah, we kind of went over this already, deleted relevant communications. Mm-hmm. The report says there are gaps in the special counsel's knowledge and they can't rule out the possibility that there is more.
Right.
So yeah, so we already kind of talked about that. But per Ari Melber, Robert Mueller did not leave obstruction charges up to Barr. Mueller clearly said that DOJ policy prevents anyone from deciding whether to indict the president. So mm-hmm. Bill Barr lied when he said it was my choice. He lied to Congress when he said, that's up to me. I decided. Mm-hmm. He's not supposed to decide. The DOJ rule does not give that power to the attorney general. The DOJ rule gives that power to Congress. Right. So let's see. Marcy Wheeler confirmed this. Of course, Marcy Wheeler's another one who's been doing incredible work. So Barr totally lied about why Mueller didn't decide whether Trump obstructed. Meanwhile, Mueller said Congress has the right to decide. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Here's this quote. Under the Office of Legal Counsel's analysis, Congress can permissibly criminalize certain obstructive conduct by the president, such as suborning perjury. There it is. Intimidating witnesses or fabricating evidence, because those prohibitions raise no separation of powers questions. The Constitution does not authorize the president to engage in such conduct, and those actions would transgress the president's duty to, quote, take care that the laws be faithfully executed. Go fuck yourself, Mr. President. All right. That's not in the report. I just added that. I'm sure
it should have been.
I know. Yeah, Robert Mueller. Yeah, it would have been great if that would have been in there. It just, you know, go fuck yourself, Mr. President. Sign Robert Mueller. Just little tag at the end.
Hearts and XOXO Bob.
Yeah, exactly right.
Take your golf club membership and stick it up your orange square.
Well, apparently I think it was Tom Hartman. Somebody reported that people at Mar-a-Lago were reading the report on Tuesday. Like people that paid to be there.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
No, I know. It was somebody called in to say he reported it, actually. So I don't know how accurate it was, but because it was a report that I'm like, what? People, because I was walking on the street like I do. And I literally yelled, what? And people looked at me. I'm like, because apparently a couple people at Mar-a-Lago that have memberships there had access to the report on Tuesday.
Oh, my God. Unfucking believable.
Again, I don't know how accurate that reporting is because it was him just now reading it, but who knows?
Yeah. And, you know,
I just had a little brain hemorrhage just right then.
I've been having one since about 9 o'clock this morning. So I'm just in the throes of an ongoing one. But I mean, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. You know, I as a student of the American Civil War, I've been really, really hesitant to go down the road of, yeah, America's in another civil war, another civil war is coming, et cetera, et cetera. And because I understand what is involved in a civil war and the sheer brutality and just the bloodlust of it. I mean, knowing that at least 600,000 Americans were killed in the last time that we had a civil war, I'm very hesitant to invoke that as being something, oh, this is happening again. Well,
but where are they going to have it? I mean, yeah, that's just South, it's brown.
Well,
I mean, it's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah,
this,
but
it's the thing. It's like, where are you going to secede to?
That's the problem. That's the problem inherent in discussing civil war, because a civil war doesn't need to happen because of North versus South, slavery versus abolition. That's not a states' rights versus strong federal government. That those aren't the terms that we're talking about now. I believe, all of that being said, I believe that we are in the midst of a cold civil war, and it has been declared by Donald Trump, who is now explicitly defining his presidency as being the presidency of just the people who support him, so that there are two nations now. We have no president for those of the rest of us who are living on Earth One, but Donald Trump is clearly the president of the Red Hats, and that's all he's interested in being. I mean, this meme this morning where he's calling out everyone, I mean, every American citizen who's been following the Russia story since the very beginning, he is saying that we're all idiots and liars. The president is calling us idiots and liars and radical Democrats because we believe that. The president of the United States, not just the president of the states that he chooses, the president of the United States is telling us that. He is bifurcating this country based on whether or not, whether you're pro-Trump or whether you're, in his terms, whether you're pro-Trump or pro-Hillary. Are you Trump or Hillary? We've seen him, we've seen reports of him asking people, he's interviewing for jobs in the administration. Are you Trump or are you Hillary? Well, that's how Donald Trump sees everything. And, you know, the difference between Donald Trump and a president like Barack Obama or Bill Clinton or even George W. Bush, for God's sake, is that they considered themselves to be the president of the entire country.
Exactly.
Donald Trump thinks he's that when it's convenient to his own political purposes. But for the most part, Donald Trump only feels as though he's the president of the people who like him and who kiss his ass. So to me, that, and then you pit these two sides together in social media and so forth, and you have, you know, basically the equivalent of a civil war, but without shots being fired and the entire thing happening based on, you know, the factual people screaming against the fantasy people. And there are the lines are drawn. So, that, I mean, that's what we're looking at now. And this goes back to what you were just saying, T-Rex. But I know we're running late now, but for obvious reason, we want to get to a few more things on this report. I know Empty Wheel, again, Marcy Wheeler, has been tweeting a lot of things along these lines, just going through in detail with this report. And one of the things she notes here that's worthy of emphasis is that this report is, in fact, an impeachment referral. There is no doubt about this. It says here in the report, quoted from the report, "The conclusion that Congress may apply the obstruction laws to the president's corrupt exercise of the powers of the office accords with our constitutional system of checks and balances and the principle that no person is above the law." That is gigantic.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is gigantic. Basically, what Robert Mueller is saying here is that that the Congress can apply obstruction of justice laws to the president. That is what they can do. That is in accordance with checks and balances and the idea of the rule of law rising above the status of the presidency, where it's not, it's, the president is the law, the rule of law is the law. So there you go. So, you know, in terms of the question of whether or not this is calling for impeachment, I think this is calling for impeachment, and Nancy Pelosi better pay attention. Meanwhile, James Comey was correct when he testified that Donald Trump wanted him to take a loyalty oath. Yep. That is in here, too. Greg Sargent found this piece. Mueller report sides with Comey's account of the demand for loyalty at dinner, saying there's substantial evidence that his account was correct and that Trump's denials were lies. Says here in the report, after Comey's account of the dinner became public, the president and his advisors disputed that he had asked for Comey's loyalty. The president also indicated that he had not invited Comey to dinner, telling a reporter that he thought Comey had, quote, asked for the dinner because, quote, he wanted to stay on.
Job.
Yeah, he wanted to keep his job. Trump said, yeah, he wanted to come by to lobby for his job. Bullshit.
I just, the whole thing that happened on Valentine's Day cracks me up. And that Comey was like, don't leave me alone with him.
I know.
Like, you know, and they're like, shh.
Well, he sees, you know, he's fucked up. James Comey fucked up with
like
that letter.
So, but like Sweet Valley High.
Yeah.
You know?
But the fact is that James Comey is also from Earth One, like the rest of us. And James Comey knows that Donald Trump is a fucking goblin. And so, you know, no one wants to be left alone with a fucking goblin like Donald Trump. I mean, I wouldn't hear a word he was saying because I'd be too busy trying to figure out his fucking hair. I mean, he's such a weird looking ogre. It's like there's so many things that you're just going to get distracted by in those situations, be freaked out by. But he continued
by. I think we talked before about like, how do you look at this person and think that they are even remotely in touch with reality with that hair and the skin tone and just like the orange and the goggle marks. And it's like, this is a person who is in serious denial about their hair loss, about the color of their skin. And it's like, you don't buy a car from that guy.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, not a straight shooter. It's just, I don't know. I don't know why where the disconnect is, except that people are, I guess, more excited when someone shares their hate and their prejudices than they are when they actually like can recognize goodness in them or something. I don't know.
Yeah, very well said. And, you know, I wanted to just on a complete tangent here, just want to mention by way of a programming note, I think what we're going to do is not do the postmortem show and just keep talking here and basically do the postmortem show as part of the actual free show so that everyone gets to hear all of our comments about all of this shit. So if you're a subscriber on the postmortem show, stick around. There'll be more postmortem shows coming up next week. But in the meantime, I think this is too important to sequester this off behind a paywall. So hence we're just going to keep talking. We'll just consider this all part of one big gigantic show.
I feel naked.
Yeah.
I know. I need to put on something.
I am naked, so I don't know what's.
Well, you always are. I thought so.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing
pants.
Pretty
much figured that. did you hear Stephanie mention that Kimberly Johnson's tweet this morning, and she said now that she's not having refrigerator sex with Bob.
Oh no!
I didn't notice. I didn't hear that. What happened? And so she talked about.
Well, she quoted something that Kimberly posted this morning during everything when it all came down, and she goes, now that she's away from refrigerator sex with Bob, and everybody was like, well, are you sure she could be multitasking?
No.
I've always imagined the refrigerator sex thing happening as a like 2 a.m. coincidence that you were both like, it's refrigerator hungry.
Yeah.
And you sort of found yourselves there, and
that never happened.
It happened. No,
yeah, you know, believe it or not,
people are tired.
It's too much information, but we don't. We have planned the sex. That's how we do it. We don't.
It's like that. What's
I
that
understand
band
that.
From New Zealand?
Yeah.
What are they called? The New Zealand.
We're old.
So you postmortem people, this is what you're missing.
Exactly
people that
right.
Are not paying for the postmortem. This is what you're missing.
Yes, this is what
the
normally
two
gets
guys
talked
from
about.
New Zealand, and they do that song. It's Wednesday night, baby, and this is going to be the hottest 3 minutes of your week. And they're Kiwis, and they can't remember the flight of the Concords. That's who it is.
Well, I'm just saying that we're old now, and that requires a little bit of preparation before you can expose your naked body to another human being. So we have to.
Yeah, so that is ridiculous.
Lighting,
you are the most
candles.
Ridiculously attractive people. It's stupid. It's like, I mean, really.
You would
like,
be amazed at the amount of work that we both go through to maintain what's left. So getting back to here, I was talking about Greg Sargent, and I'm sure he's so proud that we're interjecting my sex life into conversation.
I'm sure
with
he
him.
Is.
Tweets. But the president's daily diary.
Sorry, Greg.
The president's daily diary, which is, I guess I've never heard that he actually did this. The president's daily diary confirms that the president, quote, extended a dinner invitation to Comey on January 27th. So basically, the president contradicted his own diary, his own record of what he was doing on a day-to-day basis. Because he was telling people that Comey asked for the dinner, but then he says in his diary that he extended an invitation to Comey on January 27th. With respect to the substance
they
of
wrote,
the... What's that?
Go ahead. I'm just still Sweet Valley highing this. He's like on his bed, dear diary, with like a pink pencil with a pom pom on the end, you know? I invited Jimmy to dinner. Maybe he'll pledge his loyalty to me.
He's got his hamburger phone, and he's calling up all his friends with his fuzzy slippers. So he goes on here. With respect to the substance of the dinner conversation, Comey documented the president's request for loyalty in a memorandum he began drafting the night of the dinner. Senior FBI officials recall that Comey told them about the loyalty request shortly after the dinner occurred. So there's that. Meanwhile,
I gave you my heart. The next day, gave it away.
Oh my God!
I wonder. Kept contemporaneous notes.
It's like I wonder if like Trump communicates with just emojis, you know, privately.
Probably
just like, smiley heart face, heart eyes face, and then like just randomly pizza.
Yes.
and an eggplant.
And a gun.
And an eggplant. So Sarah Sanders told Mueller that she lied to the American people. This is another big revelation in this thing about specific to the press secretary. Let's see. The president's draft termination letter also stated that morale in the FBI, I guess this is Comey's termination letter, stated that morale in the FBI was at an all-time low. And Sanders told the press after Comey's termination that the White House had heard from countless FBI agents who had lost confidence in Comey.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
But the evidence,
I totally remember that.
But the evidence does not support those claims. The president told Comey at their January 27 dinner that the people of the FBI really like him. Sure. No evidence suggests that the president heard otherwise before deciding to terminate Comey, and Sanders acknowledged to investigators that her comments were not founded on anything.
Wow.
So,
surprise.
She'll be fired in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I think that's the moment when Nicole Wallace actually threw all the paper up in the air and was like, lies, lies, lies. They just make it up.
And by the way, can I say something about Nicole Wallace? My God, is she doing great work? I mean, just from the very perspective of her just taking a hardline posture on this, where she's got no more fucks left for Donald Trump. And so anyone in her presence who tries to blow holes in all of this or play this stupid fucking contrarian denialist game, she just lets them have it. She is relentless. I mean, I am more than happy to have someone like Nicole Wallace on our side in all of this. And you know what? You know, fine. She was on the other side for a good long time. She worked for the Bush White House. She worked on the McCain-Palin campaign.
She worked for John McCain, who she respected, you know, still respects with the highest. I mean,
yeah.
You know, believes. And I think that is what really, that's just what tore it with her, with Trump, was when he went after McCain's service and said, well, I like the war heroes. It didn't get caught. And that's just like, to the people who are part of the McCain thing, that is like, you know, the Torah.
Yeah.
That is like the sacred text of like, you know, his sacrifice was tremendous because they did give him an opportunity to come home from being a prisoner of war and being tortured. Mm-hmm. And he said, not if my men can't come, you know? And I mean, that's whatever, you know, ridiculous or horrible policies he may have signed off on or allegiances he may have made with Lindsey Graham. That is a tremendous sacrifice to make.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the kind of thing
he couldn't lift his arms.
Donald Trump would never, ever, ever in a million years. Donald Trump would probably let Ivanka burn to death if it meant his surviving, you know, like it just, he's that craven. And I think that was the point for Nicole Wallace, was just like, enough of this guy.
Yeah.
It's time, you know, it's war.
Well, on top of that, Nicole Wallace, famously, if you read Game Change, Nicole Wallace just despised Sarah Palin. I mean, she was the campaign staffer who was assigned to Sarah Palin to help Sarah Palin prep for the debates and so on to actually start to learn shit. And Nicole Wallace quit. I think she quit the campaign because she was sick and tired of fucking Sarah Palin being a goddamn idiot. And so she's like, enough, I'm out of here. I'm done with this moron. And so
in the movie, she basically goes, I didn't vote for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
she didn't vote for anybody. Basically, she just didn't vote. And it was like the first time as a person, she's like, I didn't vote. She didn't vote for Gore either. Or excuse me, Obama either. But she didn't vote. And that was terrifying to her, and understandably so, because of Sarah Palin.
Well, have you read any of Nicole Wallace's novel?
No, I haven't.
I've actually read some sections of it, and if it's even a quarter true, it sounds like an absolute nightmare, because they're like supposed to be doing debate prep and they can't find Palin. And Palin has actually gone out running on the ranch in Sedona, like at, you know, peak heat hours, and, you know, passes out because she's not eating and like busted her leg open and is bleeding everywhere. I mean, she was just like completely ungovernable, wouldn't take direction, couldn't retain facts, like wasn't eating, was trying to get by on like Slim Fast and protein bars and beta blockers, and was just a, like, you know, nightmare, which I'm sure for someone who has been as prepared and has worked as hard as Nicole Wallace and been as good a soldier for like every, you know, administration she's worked for, must have just been like, who is this bimbo?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and like, why do I have to try to wrangle her?
Well, look, I don't want to spend a lot of time going over the idea of
how awesome Nicole Wallace is.
Well, that's, yeah. I mean, but no, I am going to do that. But I'm going to say that I don't want to sit here and spend a lot of time defending Never Trumpers. Everyone knows where I land on Never Trumpers.
Right.
Here's the thing with Nicole Wallace, though, specifically. Remember the idea. Keep in mind the idea that what Nicole Wallace was doing on the McCain campaign, when she finally made that split, Nicole Wallace was putting her entire career in jeopardy. Yeah. Because she decided that these people were making a goddamn fatal and disgusting error by elevating Sarah Palin. And she continued to see this develop throughout the Obama years. And then when Trump came around, she's like, oh, okay, I'm officially done with this horrible shit. And you know what? She could very easily, that decision itself could very easily have ostracized her from all of her connections. She could have lost her job. She could have been blacklisted and never worked again. And that, and it was a big risk, I think, that she took. Turning, I mean, can you imagine, yeah. T-Rex, if you were to suddenly say, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. I'm a Republican now. I'm going to support Donald Trump. Would you?
You bite your tongue.
Actually, you know, then again,
I would want you guys to start looking up my nose for signs of an ice pick lobotomy at that point.
Okay? Well, actually, you know what? The reverse of that would be if liberals become conservatives, liberals suddenly become wealthy. That's what happens there. I mean,
right? I would get a Fox News deal and like a book contract.
Oh my God!
And,
yeah, I would be on the news.
They would start shipping it with Conservative Book of the Month Club, and it would go straight to the NYT.
Oh, yeah.
Number one.
This podcast would be on with the Ben Shapiro Network or something like that instead of the Sexy Liberal Network. That's for sure.
I still can't get past the fact that Ben Shapiro can't even edit his own like breaks in. Like, to read his commercials in front of that like seething live crowd. And
he's such an insufferable, overrated dink. I mean, that fucking guy. I could spend a lot of time talking about how awful the Shapiro bot is. But, you know.
Somebody was saying on Twitter, though, you know, I just spent 4 days off Twitter and nobody in the real world even knows who Ben Shapiro is and doesn't give a shit about his stupid ideas. It's so refreshing. He's like, you should try it.
Oh, my God. Well, just a few more things to wrap up here before we finish the show today. There was a story that broke here just now. ABC News is reporting the Mueller report live updates. Special counsel considered Trump's written answers inadequate. Shocking there. That basically what Trump gave to Robert Mueller was a black box and enlightened nothing.
In crayons.
Right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Sean Hannity got mentioned in the report here at least once.
Yeah. He was Michael Cohen's only other client. And I'm still like, what's the story there? What Playboy bunny or, I don't know, lost Night Ranger groupie or just who got paid off here?
Yeah.
Like, why was Michael Cohen, what was he doing for Sean Hannity?
Well, you know what? Look, I'm just reading this text from the Mueller report.
Go on. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Well, no, that's okay. I'm just seeing here. It gave me cover to read this whole quote.
You didn't listen to a word I said.
I didn't hear anything. I just was hearing buzzes and whistles.
Wah, 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 wah.
Exactly. Charlie Brown parents. Yeah. So it says here, U.S. persons, including former Ambassador Michael McFaul. Well, that makes him look really bad. Roger Stone, Sean Hannity and Mike Flynn Jr. retweeted or responded to tweets posted to IRA controlled accounts. Multiple individuals affiliated with the Trump campaign also promoted IRA tweets. So, yeah. So these guys were duped by Russian propaganda. Mm-hmm. And it's in the Mueller report. Congratulations, guys. You're idiots.
Yep.
And you know, by the way, there are some friendlies who were duped by this shit, too. Make no mistake, especially the shit that came down during the 2016 primaries. Let's not candy coat all that shit, too.
No, we know who the disease vectors were on that one. The misinformation spreaders.
disease vectors. That's awesome.
That's what you call it in infectious disease control. It's like the vector. I mean, they were the spreaders, the typhoid Marys of misinformation.
Yeah, and I'm not, you know what, I am desperately scrolling to see if there's any new developments from the report that we haven't seen, that other people have seen. And I'm not seeing anything right away that would facilitate at least the
conclusion of the show.
God damn it, your neighbor. I'm just so fired up. I'm blaming everybody.
Do it.
Well, I, you know, before we wrap up, I just want to mention this one last thing. And this is so important. And it really, it has nothing to do with the Mueller report specifically. And that is that former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld announced this week that he's going to challenge Donald Trump for the 2020 presidential nomination.
Go, go.
And I may actually end up donating some money to Bill Weld. Not because I, not because I particularly, not because I agree with his politics or I agree with anything he's done or said. I know very little about Bill Weld other than that he was a he was the vice presidential running mate on the Libertarian ticket a couple of years ago. And so
What is Aleppo?
Well, no, that's
that guy's running mate.
No, that was Gary Johnson. Oh yeah, it was Bill? Bill Weld was Gary Johnson's running mate. That's
running
right.
Mate.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
What is Aleppo? Okay, I'll never forget that moment. I was watching it live.
Aleppo is food you give your dog, right?
I mean, he just like he blinked his glassy blank eyes and said, "What is Aleppo?" Like just. Like someone was going to explain to him that it was a combination of a leopard and a hippo, and it was a mythical animal from the, you know, like the Magic the Game or something. Or
yeah, it was one of those really uncomfortable flop sweat moments that you know, you got to think that, oh yeah, here we go.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About
Aleppo.
Oh, you've got it.
And what is Aleppo?
You're kidding.
He sounds stoned.
Yeah,
Aleppo is in Syria. It's the epicenter of the refugee crisis.
Okay,
that's Barnacle. That
got
was Mike Barnacle.
Okay. Well, with regard to Syria, I do think that it's a mess. I think that the only way that we deal with Syria is to join hands with Russia to diplomatically bring that at an end.
Hang on.
Oh, for fuck's sake, this is like, I mean, that's kindergartners get this, okay? Like, it's a mess, like a messy finger paint table, and we're going to join hands. And he's a kindergartner.
Yeah, so Bill Weld is not the greatest. That, by the way, just to reiterate, that was Gary Johnson, Bill Weld's running
right.
mate.
Right, right.
Gary Johnson was stoned.
Yeah,
was
Gary
Johnson,
totally, totally.
I guarantee
stoned.
You he was thinking that Aleppo was a combination of a leopard and a hippo.
Can I just add, speaking of stone, that thank God this weekend is 420. I'm just saying that. not saying any specific things about my lifestyle, but... And not that I need any excuses like 420, but, you know, just got to mention that.
421 is Easter, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, no. It's
Easter
Earth Day.
Is on Sunday, yes.
Why does Earth Day and Easter keep happening at the same time? So I'm, you know, eating my wonderful, like, chocolates from Japan or whatever that come in, like, five layers of packaging.
Yeah. You know? These two holidays need to coordinate better, I think.
Yeah. Like Easter grass. I know that stuff's not grass, and it's not edible, and it's, I mean... Yeah.
Well, so if Bill Weld continues to run, at least with the same tone that his opening video has, I think he's got a decent shot of stripping some support from Donald Trump. I don't think he's going to get the nomination, obviously.
No.
I think Donald Trump's going to be renominated. But the fact is that Bill Weld is going to damage Donald Trump because Bill Weld is going to be spending the next month or the next year and a half going after Donald Trump. And
let them fight.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that's going to weaken Donald Trump. Whereas Donald Trump could have just spent the entire primary season hurling bombs at the Democrats, he's going to have to be swatting back Bill Weld's attacks, too.
Well, where can one find that video of his ad?
One can find the video of his ad on YouTube, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
I said that as if I knew the answer to your question. And honest to God, you know what? When I found out about this, I tried to find it on YouTube, and I couldn't find it right away. I found a longer form
video.
Look
on Twitter.
Lawrence O'Donnell played the video at the top of his show, one of his shows this past week. I want to say it was maybe the Tuesday night show where he interviewed Bill Weld. So if you look at the first 5 minutes of the previous three Lawrence O'Donnell episodes from this past week, you'll see it. It's there.
Okay.
Plus he interviews Bill Weld, and Bill Weld was kind of funny in the interview, too. So watch for that. I mean, that's an important development, that Donald Trump is going to be primary challenged, and this guy might actually win some primaries, might actually win some delegates, because I think there are some conservatives, certainly Republicans, who are soft on Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump may be showing, 40, 45% support right now, but it's probably only legitimately down around 30%. Those are the hardcore hotheads, the red hats, who just will not ever abandon Donald Trump no matter what. It's just that cultural link. And by the way, going back to Bill Barr real quick, It's more obvious today than ever before that Bill Barr is one of the red hats. He's one of the guys who...
Oh, yeah.
He's this upper middle-aged guy who sees Donald Trump as being this messiah. You know, he's this cultural icon.
Against this cultural slide into Marxism or whatever there is.
Well, wait, didn't... But isn't Barr involved with some sort of Russian real estate or something? Or money or something?
Probably. I don't
know. You're kidding.
I don't know.
Really?
Wasn't there a report like 2 days ago that he's got Russian money or he's involved in something Russian? That also connects him this other
way. Russia. Remember when I said it was like Russia, kids
Russia,
and
Russia.
Poop?
It's
they
totally,
get it on everything. They get
it's
Russia
the Brady
on
Bunch.
Everything. Yeah. Oh, it's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Oi.
Well, okay.
and on that note,
the fun continues. Please enjoy the rest of your weekend reading the Mueller report and determining all of the terrible, terrible things that Donald Trump has done and. Now we're facing Idiocracy just around the corner, but I mean, rest assured, there are good people, not only in the bureaucracy inside the federal government, but also members of Congress specifically.
Didn't Anne Frank write that right before she was killed?
yeah.
Okay,
right.
Just wanted to point that out. Yeah.
First, she talked about how Bill Weld is going to be an amazing candidate against Donald Trump, and then she said. Said all those things. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm loopy. I'm feeling loopy now. Too much text.
It's
too
okay.
Much...
It's okay. You're naked. Nobody cares.
You still have to edit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's great news. Thank you for reminding me.
I'm going to take a nap.
Fortunately, I don't cut a lot of shit out, you know, but just...
I got to tell you, I had a terrible tragedy this morning. Just very quickly, showed up for my 6:30 shift 10 minutes early at the catering place only to find out that I had missed all the messages that the event had been canceled.
I'm sure you were upset.
I mean, everything for the prior 12 hours had been about like getting to work on time, and I was so proud of myself as I pulled into the parking lot at 6:20. I'm like, yes, I'm on time. And I walk in and everyone's like, what are you doing here?
You know, ever since you got that job, I've been thinking about that Sam Kinison line where he talks about the Jesus the miracle caterer. So he's expected to change all that shit into
loaves
and fishes and wine, and yeah, he's like, I didn't come here to be Jesus the miracle caterer.
Okay, this is my joke. I made it up. You ready?
All right, we only
why
have 46
Jesus'
seconds.
Dad give him any money?
Why?
It all goes right through his hands.
Oh man!
Happy Easter.
Everybody.
Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, sexyliberal.com. Jody Hamilton's From the Bunker Podcast, Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour, Randy Rhodes After Hours, Dino Badala's I Want to Be Your Muslim Friend, Sanity with John Fugelsang, The Final Word with Frangela, The Great Rude Pundit, and more to come on the Sexy Liberal Network. sexyliberal.com. David Ferguson, meanwhile, is at patreon.com/TREX Report. Buzz Burbank can be found at buzzburbank.com. Also, realmnetwork.com. And if you want to go direct to Jody, it's from-the-bunker.com. Have a great weekend, folks. Hang in there. After party tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Thank you, all of you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
See you next week.